Levels.
We're really good harmonizers.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Pew, 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 pew. Welcome to Straight Out of Nashville. What's up? I'm Zach.
And I'm Gabby.
Oh, it's called Straight Out of Nashville because clearly I am not straight.
Clearly I'm not from Nashville.
I'm so glad we could point out the obvious here.
Yeah, but we represent the diversity of this town, the people that reside here, all the cool stuff that's coming out of here. We've got a really cool guest on today's show.
I am so excited because I've been like seeing some of the things that he's done in the news. Mm. And so I'm like, ooh, I can't wait to hear his stories.
Yeah, so we're talking about Luke Dick. He is a prolific country songwriter. He's written hits for Eric Church, Casey Musgraves, Miranda Lambert, Dirk Bentley's Burning Man, that went to number one recently. That was him. He co-wrote that.
Oh, no big deal.
Yeah, no big deal. But then he's got this post-punk band called Republican Hair. So that's right up my street.
Yeah. We got a star-studded man on our hands.
You know it. And he's got a documentary that he's just debuted at the South by Southwest. So
holy jeez.
Many hats.
Gabby, should we start with a shot of vodka?
Why the hell not?
Okay.
Yeah.
Give me your cup.
Red Solo cup. I'll fill you. Thanks for the dribble. Let's have a party.
Gabby's
Let's
drunk
have
already.
A party. Drunk on the fumes.
Cheers on our
Cheers.
White styrofoam cups because we're very classy. Actually, I really love that we do it in these. That way we can just throw it away afterward and not have to do dishes.
Word.
Like,
not
my
good for
biggest
the
pet peeve on the entire planet is having to clean dishes. I hate it.
That's what dishwasher's for.
Well, yeah, but what about like the pots and pans you can't put in the dishwasher, Gabby?
I put them all in the dishwasher.
Oh my God. This is why we can't have nice things, because you ruin them.
I do not. They come out sparkling.
No, you're not supposed to do that. Anyways, cheers.
Says who?
Me.
Martha Stewart.
No, my boyfriend. He's a type A person. And so if you put the wrong thing in the dishwasher, he will take it out.
Oh, I had a boyfriend like that.
Yeah.
I'm Swiss. Cheers.
I love watching Gabby gag every single time. Yeah, I feel like I'm going to throw up now.
Okay, so we're allowing ourselves lots of time to talk to Luke because there's so much to talk about. He sounds like such an interesting guy. But, you know, we always start the show with a little catch-up. Like, what have you been up to, Zachary?
I don't know if you guys have seen this on my social media, but I am a new dad to a baby golden retriever. His name is George. I surprised my boyfriend with him for his birthday. And he is the cutest little man on the entire world. Like, literally, I'm obsessed with him.
I can concur.
Oh, yeah. Gabby came over to my apartment to meet him, and he is
absolutely adorable, even when he was eating my new dress that I'm wearing right now. I was like, it's okay. You just look too cute. You can do whatever you want. Take my shoe. Who needs to?
It's been almost a week since he's been home with us, and I did not know. I've never had a puppy before because I've always just adopted and they're older. Mm. And so this is my first time actually having a baby puppy. He's 7 weeks old. He is a terror, a fucking terror. Like, he tries to eat my curtains that I had custom made for the apartment. He doesn't sleep through the night, so he whines. So I haven't slept a good night's sleep in like a week. And the other night, my boyfriend now has like a sinus infection and a cold. So my boyfriend is snoring and coughing and asleep. The dog is whining. I was like, I'm about to pack my shit up and move out.
Yeah, right. That sounds like hell, actually.
It honestly was. I got up and laid on the couch at 2 a.m. and he thought I was mad at him. I'm like, no, I just need sleep. I'm going to die if I don't get sleep. So other than that, it's been honestly really good having this little man around.
Oh, he is absolutely adorable.
Yeah, thank you. Gabby, what have you been doing?
Well, I'm going out again this weekend for another party.
My God, you're a party animal.
Well, no, because it was the half noise weekend when I went out in my bathing suit.
And you partied all weekend long?
I partied all weekend. So that was like, every other weekend I think is okay, right?
Where are you partying this weekend?
Well,
are you coming to party with me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Obviously. I also thought, because I had such a fun time at Bar Sovereign, which, like, any guest that comes into the studio, they're like, yeah, we love Bar Sovereign.
Yeah.
It's just got that kind of vibe to it where a lot of industry people hang out and just have fun.
So are you going to wear your swimsuit this time?
Well, I feel like I should because
you
got
so many free drinks.
No, I got so many free drinks, so many numbers.
Wait, speaking of numbers.
Uh-oh.
Gabby was telling me earlier, you have a blind date?
I have a Bird Box date, yeah.
What? Give me the tea here. I'm confused.
I can't really tell you much right now. Basically, a very good friend of mine who owns the Sweetie store, Ban Candy in town.
Oh, yeah.
She said, oh, I have a friend who would like to get your number. And I said, oh, yes. And, you know, the next thing you ask is, like, where's the social media?
Yeah, what do they look like? Can I see photos?
And she's like, oh, he's not on social media, but, you know, you've got the radio thing in common.
Immediate red flag. He's not on social media? That means the government is looking for him.
I see, for me, I find that very attractive.
No, it's not attractive. It's scary.
No, I found that attractive.
Okay.
Because he reads books and stuff, you know?
Oh, okay. He reads books about murder and how to chop up pretty girls' bodies. That's why he wanted to meet you.
Well, let's hope not.
So wait, what does he do for a living? Do we know? I don't like the giggle. I don't like the giggle. What?
I don't... So...
Is he a professional murderer?
No, he's he works in radio. He
what does he do in radio? You're being super vague. I'm like, get to the point.
He records people doing day-to-day activities and makes it into a radio show.
Like ASMR sounds?
Apparently that's the thing, ASMR, yeah.
So you talk like...
No, stop it. That freaks me out, don't
you? Love it so much. You just whisper and you talk and you over-enunciate everything. I have friends that, like,
I don't think it's that, because my friend said he came and recorded like 3 hours of her just baking in
silence.
Oh,
I was like, there's like videos that there's people like crushing cups like this.
Well, as long as he doesn't pull any of that shit later, then we'll be okay. But
he's going to record you guys having sex and sell it as a sound recording.
He should be so lucky.
That's going to be you, Gabs.
Stop it! Stop it right now!
Okay, proceed. So he...
No, that's the end of the story. Let's move on.
No, you're being vague. There's more to the story.
I hate you. He's going to listen to this.
Okay, and what? He clearly knew you before he went on this date. Let him listen.
He doesn't know... Well, he knows more about me than I know about him, to be fair.
What does he do day-to-day job?
Well, I haven't got this from the horse's mouth. I believe... He might do some form of dancing.
Okay. Like a backup dancer, a hip hop dancer. Is he a stripper? Gabby!
Maybe an exotic dancer.
That's a stripper!
I don't know. I've got to meet him.
Hey, the positive note is if he's a stripper, means he is hot as fuck and he knows how to use his hips and lay down in the sheets. I ain't even mad about it, girl. Get you a stripper.
Well... Watch this space, folks.
I am so ready for you to go on this date. I need to know all about it. Where are you going? What's happening? I'm so invested in your life.
What are you laughing
at? Her mouth is full of rice. Mm-hmm. That's her dinner.
We're going for a coffee and to see a movie. Safe in public, you know?
Except for the movie theater is dark, so he could get handsy or creepy.
Well, if he's good looking, maybe I want him to.
Yeah, if he's good looking, bring it on, boo. I'll move my dress out of the way for you. How about that?
Oh,
thinking
my
with
God.
Your loins again.
Well, let's hope he's so hot that my loins are so on fire that I get cystitis.
Cystitis?
You've not heard of cystitis?
No, what is that?
So when you pee, when it burns when you pee.
That sounds like an STD.
Well, yeah, it can be from having... Or too much sex.
Oh my God.
Anyway,
that sounds awful.
Anyway, enough of my love life.
Cystitis? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, Gabby.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody DM'd me on Instagram and asked if we would go do something. And I think we should do it and like vlog it so that people can see and we can talk about our experience doing it.
What have they asked us to do?
It's not make a porn video, so we're in the clear there. It's get colonics. Have you ever had one before?
Once here in Nashville.
Did you love it?
No.
Why?
It was awful.
Why?
Because I was too tense.
Oh my God, I can relate to that so well.
I hate you. Oh my God.
So it hurt?
Well, it wasn't comfortable. Let's just say that. No, I just, but actually. I have been feeling a bit bloated recently. So
you'll do it?
Well, are we together?
Yeah, we're going to be in the same room with the little thing
crazy.
Up our bum.
I don't want to look at your shit coming out of a tube.
Oh my God, we could do it like when people get C-sections. We could put like a little sheet up from the waist down and you just stand by my head.
Yeah, but knowing you, you'd think it's hilarious to like get your phone out, hi, Instagram Live, and like pull down the sheet and be like, yep, there's Gabby's turds coming
Ew,
out of the tube.
No, I would never do that. Maybe once, but... So, you're in.
I'm in.
Okay, Sarah Moore Health is her name, and we are going to go do colonics and talk about it. See our experience
All
here.
The good stuff.
That's right,
the,
boo.
Straight out of Nashville.
People ask what we do in Nashville. We have to be beautiful like they are in LA, so we got to get colonics and Botox.
Amen, sis.
That's
Amen.
All I got for you.
On that note, I think we should get our guest in.
I'm so excited to meet him.
So how much do you know about the podcast, like, just before we get into it?
Only a little, if you want to...
Okay. Well, so I'm, like, the rock chick, which is why this is my studio. Okay, we both work for iHeartRadio. Uh-huh. So I'm on 105.9 The Rock, and then Zach is our pop guy.
Awesome.
Who's on 107.5 The River in the morning. Gets up at 3:30 a.m.
It's amazing.
I had those hours.
So we're
one
literally
time,
night and day, as in Zach is day and I am night.
Yeah. Okay.
So we wanted to do the podcast because we're so centered in what we do in commercial radio.
Sure.
And Nashville's so diverse and there's so much cool stuff happening here. So we wanted to like celebrate that.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah. So we called it Straight Out of Nashville because Zach's not straight and I'm not from Nashville.
Isn't it amazing?
That's very inside.
Thanks. We're brilliant.
Yeah. Profound like that. So if you're ready, Luke Dick.
Yes.
Thank you so much for coming on our podcast.
I'm glad to be here.
Wait, your real last name is Dick? Like, that's not a stage name?
It's not a stage name. When I first came to Nashville, I had an alt-country band, and they said, well, you're going to need to change your name. And I said, well, why would I do that? This is like a perfect call. Who's going to forget that?
Yeah.
You know? I don't know. Maybe there's... The family values situation. You know.
Did you change your name for the band?
I didn't. It's always been Luke
Okay,
Dick.
Good. Whew, yeah. I'm glad.
Yeah.
I just love it.
Yeah, me too. We know you do.
Gabby.
We both love Dick.
What can we say? Ow.
I've got a lot of fans.
That's it. He's getting hot and bothered already.
Yeah. But in all seriousness, though, you are like... Not just you, I'm not a stalker, but like people like you are the reason that I came to Nashville because you've got such an interesting story. You're not just kind of a country songwriter. You're a filmmaker now. You've got your documentary and then you've got this like what, post?
Posh.
Posh punk.
Posh punk.
There's a new genre, yeah. Like new wave bands.
Yeah.
And there's a lot going on that we want to talk to you about, basically.
The proverbial Luke Dick, wakes up and decides which hat to put on.
I love that.
Yeah.
I really, really love that. Are we going to start with a shot of vodka?
Always.
Ask
In my styrofoam cup.
And
okay, so I'm going to do that. We're going to do this. I didn't realize it was going to be right on the money.
I didn't want to. Yeah. I don't want to pressure you.
I mean, we don't want to bully you into it.
I read this book about making friends that you should do what they're doing in order to develop a connection.
Okay.
Peer pressuring now.
After this, you're stuck with us because now we're friends.
Whoa, a shot. Is that what you call a shot?
Is that?
That's the same as Zach.
That's a Zach
Maybe
Woodward
it's a British.
Shot.
This is roughly 3 ounces of alcohol.
Gabby is also really lightweight, so whenever I pour her a shot, she is hammered.
Well, I've built a tolerance this week. I played a little show, and this is a very interesting story, by the way. I get this.
I'm on the edge of my seat.
I can see that. Yeah. Every spring, I get this voice thing, and if my voice starts giving out, if I have whatever allergies, and you can't hit a note, it really gets in your head, you know, and so. I was playing the show and I had a couple of double tequilas and the people that they had people at this show, so new glasses would show up next to me, so I just kept drinking them until I was totally shitty.
Not coherent.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah.
Why
wouldn't you?
We did fine. I did fine. Okay, I did fine.
Did your voice sound better?
It just honestly
him.
You don't care about the imperfections and it's really more psychological, but also it's a lubricant if you want to call.
Yeah.
In many ways.
Cheers, you guys.
Nice. I haven't got where's mine?
Well, Gabby, you never take a shot with us.
You
I just said to you.
Okay,
I'm gonna
so a smaller one.
Luke's pouring me. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's good. That's good. Thank you. Honestly, Zach, you've got one job.
To get you liquored up. I'm so sorry for failing you.
Well, cheers.
Cheers. Cheers,
everyone.
White
Star cheers. Thumb cups.
It, with our Tito's vodka, and you've written a song about Tito's.
I haven't written a song about Tito's. Tito's is mental furniture within the song.
Ooh.
Vodka is, I prefer tequila, and
I think that's killed some of the bacteria.
It's very antiseptic, isn't
yes.
it?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's start at the top. You're from Oklahoma.
That's right.
And then when did you and why did you decide to come to Nashville?
Wow. Do you want a rock and roll story?
Yes, always.
Really quick, though, I see that you're married with a wedding ring on.
Yeah.
And I feel like everything. Is your wife from Oklahoma?
Yeah.
Is she a former Miss United States? I just feel like every single person that wins beauty pageants is Miss Oklahoma. Like, they have the most beautiful women there.
No. She eats people like that for breakfast and dinner.
Amazing.
It's yeah. a random question.
I just love beauty queens, and so I feel like every time I watch Miss USA, do. Miss we Oklahoma know. Wins.
No, this is a sort of...
this is the anti-Miss Beauty
yeah,
Queen,
sort
right?
Yeah, sort of femme fatale situation.
Oh, I love it already.
Love
hit me.
Yeah.
Rock and roll
Dr.
story.
Dr. Dick.
So what happened?
Rock and roll story. I was I'd never been east of Memphis before, so let me try to nutshell this into a 30 to 60 second story for you. I'm not very good at that, so okay. how long is this program? 3 hours?
Yeah, basically.
So I was in this alt country band that was in Oklahoma. I was doing my own thing, and I had needed a bass player. This bass player came and he said, I have a publishing company in Nashville. You should come to Nashville. And I'm like, well, what's a publishing company? And he's like, well, we pay you for writing songs. And I was like, how else am I supposed to get out of Oklahoma?
Yeah. That sounds great.
Yeah.
Can I just say that the Flaming Lips are from Oklahoma?
They are. They never left, you know.
I love Wayne Coyne.
Yeah.
I've met
him
a couple of times and he's cool.
He's they have a boulevard named after them now.
That's goals in life.
Fast forward, I have this bass player who says, I have a publishing company. You should go write a song with my partner out there. You can stay with me. In the meantime, I was a grad student in philosophy at Oklahoma State University.
Wow. What the hell?
Yeah, I was going to be a professor. That was what I wanted to be. Because I didn't know how to make it in music. I love music. I always loved mm-hmm. music, but I also really loved the studying and some driving out. And he said, I have a place you can stay. So I'm not making very much money. I'm teaching as a student professor or whatever. And I come out and he said, I got a place you can stay. Texting had just come on. And so he was texting me all the way. I can't wait for you to get here.
Texting has just come on. You mean like the mobile phone?
Yeah. 2003, okay. You know,
that's
mean
just
like
when texting got big.
Yeah. And I didn't even know what it was. He was like always into tech, this guy.
Okay.
Anyway, we get out. I get to town. This is so relevant to right here where I sit right now. I'm going to tell you it's so relevant to this very building.
Oh.
So, yeah. So I get to Jackson, Tennessee, it's like 90 minutes away or so, yeah. And he just goes radio silent on me. I'm like, well, where am I going? There's no Google Maps or anything, you know, so I'm just going to find the place. Well, there's no...
You just drive around the city until you find,
it's on this boulevard, you write it down, yeah. You know, and then you go find it. That's how life used to work, right?
It's a simpler time.
Yeah, 12, 15 years ago. And so anyway... He was on a bender, and he didn't want to admit that he was on a bender. I couldn't stay. I just get a text back. It says, you can stay at the Lowe's Vanderbilt. There you have a room there. I didn't know what the Lowe's Vanderbilt was, and I called him, and it's like the room was $160, which may have well been $1 million to me.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, well, I'm almost there. I guess I'll just go and see what happens. And so – I come to town and
so you had to pay for the $160?
We haven't gotten to the hotel room yet. I ended up staying at the Days Inn, which has been knocked down already. It was on West End. There was a Days Inn on West End that I stayed at for $78, which was still a hell of a lot of money to me then.
It's a lot of money to me now.
Yeah. It was during fan fanfest too. Yeah. And I didn't even know what that was, you know.
I don't know what that is.
So like during CMA Fest every year, they used to do this like fan experience in the convention center that they would call Fan Fair, that like artists would go set up booths so that their fans could come.
Now it's a multi-day thing where all the artists are here playing big shows together, and so people come from all over, so it's really hard to get a hotel.
Basically like CMA Fest. CMA Fest.
Okay.
But they changed
the name. I'm with you.
So I'm in town, and I was actually... To be honest with you, he said, you're going to have to write country. And I'm like, cool, I like Hank Williams and Hank Williams Jr. and stuff like that. And he's like, no, man, you got to listen to the radio and see what's going on. And so I listened to the radio the whole way, and it was like I didn't like it. You know, I'm like, what am I going to do? And then one or two songs came on, and I was like, that's wild. That's a really good story. You know, I could do this. It's sort of exercising some creative muscles, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I get here. And he goes just absolutely silent on me, and so I'm left to figure out what to do. I get off on Broadway because that sounds like a place you should get off the highway, Broadway.
Yeah, why not?
Like there's going to be some song and dance happening here. So I get off and I go to the right instead, which turns into De Mombrin. And there were all these shops that looked new. There was a bar, the Tin Roof had just opened. I got off and then I came around the loop and there's this, you know, these giant naked nymphs, you know, sort of staring at me. And I'm like, okay, this is the place. Music Row, it's called.
Yes,
and
I go around where we are right now, for any
exactly. And so I drive and everything's closed. This was probably 7, 8 o'clock. And so still the lights are on. It's like, you know, ASCAP, BMI, Sony. And I'm like, well, this is kind of small here. You know, so I drive past this very building, turn around, go the other way. And then decided to go to the Tin Roof. And I was so broke that I went to a liquor store first, bought a little bottle of Dewar's. I drank scotch at the time and put it in my boot and ordered one drink. And then when I go to the bathroom and fill it up because I didn't have enough money to stay here very long. But I got into this conversation with some writers who were there who had just gotten a cut on a record. And they're like, oh, my God, what happened to you? And I'm like, oh, man, I'm supposed to meet this guy and he's not here and I don't know what to do. I'm just going to stay at the Days Inn. Oh, let us buy you a steak. So they went and they bought me a steak at the Longhorn. And then I hung out.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
Such a Nashville thing.
I hung and hung out for a couple of days and went back. And then the guy apologized and said, well, I'll sign you to a deal. And I'm like, okay, sure.
Did you ever meet up with the guy?
That's what I'm saying. He finally reached back out. And
yeah,
it's like,
when he'd recovered from his bender.
Yeah, the bender went off and he said, well, I'll still sign you if you want. And I'm like, sure, that sounds like a great business decision.
Yeah.
Well, it absolutely was because you've written for Eric Church, Miranda Lambert, Casey Musgraves, Dierks Bentley. I mean,
holy shit.
These are like, it's the holy grail of country artists.
That's 12 years later, mind you. So that's a million mistakes ago.
Yeah.
Okay. That was a mistake, you know, a few mistakes into Nashville.
So my question, with all of these names on the roster, how does that process work? So you write the song. Who gives them the song? How do they pick the song? Like, how does that even work?
Well, at first, when you're nobody, nobody gets the songs.
Yeah.
They sit on your computer or in your guitar or in your head forever.
They bounce back from the wall.
That's right. That's right. But I moved back to Nashville 5 years ago after that stint in Nashville, which was... generally, I could say a commercial failure.
That's fun.
I had gotten my master's. I was going to go get a PhD and said, you know, music isn't for me. I can't figure it out.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what to do. Anyway, I go to New York, apply to some graduate schools, and then get a bunch of jobs teaching adjunct all over the city, teaching philosophy. And a couple years into that, I started making music that I was getting into ads and getting into trailers and stuff like that. And then I got signed to another publishing deal in Nashville. I ended up back here and then my relationships changed. Yeah, it pulled me right back in. And my relationships started changing. I started writing with different writers that I gelled with more, who had more relationships, who really liked what I did and said that, well, we should take this to that artist. So maybe it was my friend Natalie Hemby, I wrote with her, and Natalie was buddies with Miranda, and she said, Miranda has to hear this thing we just wrote. And so,
how sick.
Yeah, and then my current publisher, he and Eric have worked together forever, and Dierks have worked together, and he's like, you need to be writing with these guys. You're good. You're great. You got a thing that you do. And so he takes me over there, and then all of a sudden you have a snowball situation happening. And then now you can sort of relax still work hard, but it's like you can just be yourself, you know, and
let the royalties flood in.
Yeah. So wait, now that you've had all of those names on the roster, what's your favorite song that you've heard, that you have written, like that when you've heard it on the radio, you're like, oh my God, that's my song.
Oh, wow. Wow. You know, the first radio cut I ever had was a song called Kill a Word, which was an Eric Church song that I was really proud of. And like, I wrote it and didn't. Sometimes you write things and say, I don't know if it'll work in the market or not, but it did, you know, and I was really proud of it when I wrote it, and still proud of it. And so, I mean, to have your first song go out that you actually like, and, you know, you feel like it's a part of you or whatever.
That's so powerful.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Something that I've picked up on in England, country music, we're catching up, but it's not such a big, you know, it's not as big as it is over here. And so something since moving to Nashville I've learned is it's really about the story and storytelling in the song.
Yeah.
And studying philosophy, has that, do you think, helped you find these tales?
I think that the general answer is no. It creeps in certain places, but generally music to me is this inspirational thing that's just happening, you know? In philosophy is such a, let's just think about this, think about it thing. Music, to me, when I'm writing songs, when it's really happening, you're not thinking about anything. It's just these images are coming and feeding this thing and feeding, you know, the rhymes are just falling into place.
Every time you talk, you're like one of those people that I want to sit outside by a bonfire with and drink bourbon and just listen to your stories all night long. Like, I swear to God.
I haven't even told any good ones yet.
Ooh.
Oh, the juice is about to spill.
The music that you write for Republican Hair is very different to the country stuff.
Yeah, it is not branded country whatsoever. It could not fit on country radio.
Now, was this, because I feel like this is going back to maybe more your personal passion point.
Yeah, well, I don't want to say that writing music, country music, is not my passion. It's not what I'm performing right now. Generally, what I perform is with Republican Hair, and it's by country standards really left-footed writing wise, but it's this sort of stream of consciousness thing where I'm affected by a news cycle, so I try to make street art out of it. You know, I'm a big fan of Andy Warhol and how he turned his can of soup into art, you know, and I'm trying to turn cans of soup into art, so to speak, with just experiencing pop culture in general.
I need to go and see you perform live because...
Are you playing close to Nashville soon?
Well...
Or should we just come and like listen to you in your living room?
We're doing Chicago and Milwaukee next weekend if you want to go with us.
Can we just ride the bus with you?
Yeah, we got a bus.
I swear to God, this has been our dream come true.
Yeah.
I'm so
I bet there's some spots you guys can come.
Gabby and I can share a bunk.
Yeah, okay.
Whoa.
Wait a minute.
You've seen the size of a bunk.
I sleep in my underwear. Hope you're ready, boo.
Seriously? Because we will take you up on
I'll
that,
won't
we?
There might be a couple of bunks left. Let's talk to Gene at corporate and see what's going on.
Oh, my God. We will cry.
Okay. Yeah, we will.
All right. We'll look into it.
Hashtag road trip.
So we just played Nashville, I guess the short answer.
And
we played the exit in and turned a few hundred away at the door. So we're just coming on up.
Good for you.
So then we're going to do Bonnaroo
in
June and release a record in between now and then. So.
Got a lot of shit moving.
A lot of shit moving.
Not only that, but let's talk about the documentary Red Dog.
Yeah.
You debuted this at the South by Southwest. Mm-hmm. Were you performing at the South by Southwest?
Republican Hair had a couple of performances, and then I had three screenings of the movie, which was the world premiere of Red Dog.
I've seen the trailer for it online, and I'm like, I need to watch this movie.
I need a quick synopsis of what this documentary is.
Red Dog is a... it's a feature-length documentary about this strip club in Oklahoma City that has been there since the mid-60s and still open today, called the Red Dog.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
My mother moved to Oklahoma when she was 15.
Was she a stripper?
She was a stripper.
Shut up!
So you spent your toddler years in the Red Dog.
So my first few years of life were in and around the Red Dog and the people that were around there. And then we moved out to the country, really rural place, like a farming community of 300 spread out over, you know, miles and miles of radius. And that's where I was raised my formative years. But she always kept those friends, you know, we would see them over the years. And so I just started asking questions later on just about her life and stories and stuff like that. My mother is a really great storyteller, really beautiful person. And
so is this where you get it from then?
Yeah.
She's better. She's a better performer than me. I swear if she would have just put her, if she could have had the right circumstance, she'd be a multimillionaire.
Wow.
People, she's so charismatic and really in the moment with stories and stuff. And so there's a real candor to the way that she describes, you know, like a story about her making a paste. They was completely nude at one point. And my mom decided to put not glitter but sequins, like glue sequins to her crotch, because she thought this was gonna be, you know, sort of be a thing, you know. And so she was like this sort of proto Lady Gaga.
She was early years Lady Gaga.
Yeah she basically. So the movie that and there's some hijinks like that and weird, crazy, funny stories, and there's a levity and a gravity to it all, because it's really about parenthood and this sort of generational aspect of, there was her life, here was our life, here's my life, but how did you raise kids?
Yeah.
What were your parents doing when they were 20? You know, I mean, we know as human beings what it feels like to be a dipshit in your 20s. But it's hard to imagine what your parents were like and what was this village like
that was raising me.
That's
so true and, like, so weird to think about. Cause especially now at my age, I'm 26. I don't ever think about my mom being my age.
She was 26, and what was she doing, and what was she thinking, and what was she worried about, and what was she not worried about, you know?
That's really, really weird to
think about. And so there were, I spent hundreds of hours with my mom just interviewing her and hanging out and doing all that. So it was this really cool project to get to just spend some time with you, you know, with your mom. We're tight anyway, but we're even tighter now. And she went to South By with me. And,
oh wow!
Yeah,
and you raised the money through crowdfunding.
We raised part of it through Kickstarter, and a lot of the characters came out of the woodworks because the Kickstarter campaign, we raised like $20,000 or something, and it was like a regional viral sensation because the bar is such a notorious rite of passage in Oklahoma. So everybody passed it around and shared it in Oklahoma because they're like, oh, somebody's making a movie about this bar. And so a couple of the characters in the film came because people saw that crowdfunding thing, and then a couple of really great characters came from it. So
amazing.
Two follow-up questions for you.
Yeah.
Number one, is this true or false? They have pancake bars and strip clubs?
They have what?
Pancake bars.
Not in that one. They have hamburgers. You can buy hamburgers.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think
there's not a standard food fair at every...
I just have heard that at strip clubs they have pancake bars on the weekends for brunch.
I'm sure there's one that has pancake brunches.
Okay. Number two, when we go on the road with you next weekend, can your mom glitterify my crotch?
Oh, yeah. We'll call her up.
Okay, she, good.
Some hot glue...
Not the hot glue.
It's
like Gorilla glue.
How did this, when you thought of the idea for the documentary, mm-hmm. how did you make that dream a reality? Being a musician?
Yeah. Well, in New York, I didn't know what I was going to do creatively with my life. And
so you've been thinking about this for a while.
Yeah. This is a project that's 6 or 7 years in the making because in New York, I met a friend who became a creative partner named Casey Pinkston. And so he was a filmmaker, and he was making films on these little Canon cameras. You know, he had a 5D. And so I bought a camera. I was like, this is what you can do with these little cameras now. It doesn't cost $10,000. You can. For $700, $800, I outfitted myself with my own camera, and we would go make these tiny little documentaries in New York together,
cool.
and make videos. Like if I had a song, you know, we'd make a video
for it
or whatever. And so we got really good and really enjoyed working together. It was a really good relationship. And so I went to Oklahoma and had recorded my mother just doing some audio stories. I happened to be recording an artist there. I was producing a record, and so I just put the microphone in front of her, and then I came home and I edited all those stories into 2 minutes, you know, 2 minute stories, and I I was really into This American Life, which is this NPR podcast that's just these weird stories from across the country. And I thought, well, they might be interested in this. And they were. And they hit me up and said, we want to do a story and this and that. And so we talked a little bit. But by then I was filming her. And I was like, this is going to be a film. I'm going to wait. I'm going to hold that car, because if we go on that, I want to tell them that we have a film, you know?
Yeah,
and so
we
waited. Over the years, I mean, my life picked up in terms of music, and mm-hmm. so it was just, let's do it when we can. Well, there's no hurry, you know? Mm-hmm. We've got all the time in the world. And so then when I said, let's kick it, I think it's time to kick it in the ass. Let's do the Kickstarter and then finish this film in a year, and then we'll see what happens. And so we finished it, and it got accepted to South By, which is exactly where we wanted to premiere it. And now we're about to take it to Oklahoma, the Dead Center Film Festival in Oklahoma. And everybody from Dead Center was at South By, and we're super pumped to take it back home. And so it'll be a big deal in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And then we also have an agent, so they're shopping for it to get distribution so that people can see it in the public. But it's not available to the public yet.
But all you can watch right now is the trailer.
That's right.
Oh,
that's right.
Man.
I might
need
give
to
you guys,
see
if
it.
You guys come on the bus, we can watch it.
Oh, my God.
It.
Don't play with my heart. I'm fine.
You're dangling too many carrots.
I just want you to know I already checked my calendar and I'm free.
All right. That's what he was doing. I thought he was texting.
No, I grabbed my phone so I could check my calendar and I'm free next weekend.
I'm just like, I'm not even looking. It's like I'm clearing whatever I've got on.
Cancel it.
Yeah. So you said you've got an album coming out. Is this a Republican?
It's
hair?
A Republican Hair.
And that's
album.
Coming out later this year?
It's coming out in the springtime. We are currently talking to people, trying to find a label home for it and figuring out how we want to release it right now. That's a very boring story, but it's great. the point of it is, I love it. It's called Clickbait. The record's called Clickbait.
Ah,
I
love that.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah.
So because the podcast is called Straight Out of Nashville, and a lot of people like move here to be musicians, and like, you said you went through your failure phase too, where you went back home and then Nashville drug you back in. Like, what are your top three pieces of advice for people that are wannabe songwriters or singers or artists that have moved to Nashville or thinking about moving to Nashville to actually become successful?
Wow. I think that advice is so subjective, really, because the ways that people make it are so different.
Yeah.
My way and the way that people started paying attention to me was because I became sonically a producer that was different than what was happening at Nashville at the time. And also lyrically, I wasn't coming at it from exactly a country background.
Which is kind of cool, because there's a lot of people that they go sing downtown on Broadway and they sound just like Miranda Lambert or Carrie Underwood, and they're singing their songs. So what you're saying is, like, basically as you are.
You got to be yourself. If you want to be an artist, you can't tell everybody that you're Miranda Lambert is awesome, but there's already a Miranda Lambert, so you got to be somebody else. Her spot is filled.
Sorry.
You know, it's like you have to create your own lane. You can't even say, well, we need a this or we need a that. It's like, no, you just have to develop your own voice in such a way, and it is either going to be interesting enough to people or it won't.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the things that I've really struggled with this as an artist and a creative person, I was making a documentary called When to Quit. In New York was going to be a short piece on visual artists who were at different phases in their careers. But it's like, well, when do you hang it up? 20 years? And to say that this, I'm not going to do this for a living. This is going to be my hobby.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be an X, whatever that X is, in order to make my money for a living. You know, I've kids. And so the kids dictate, you know, the sort of practicality of things are always talking to me in my brain too. So that fueled that decision to say, I'm not going to stick around Nashville longer on that first go around.
Yeah.
So I've got to get a PhD. I got to do something to where I can make a middle class income. You know, I'm not giving you very good advice. What I am saying is that what worked for me was to find ways to be creatively unique and also true to myself. Do things that you like, because even if it doesn't work, it was still enjoyable.
Yeah, at least you like doing
it. It may fail. That is just a fact. It may fail.
Yeah.
But then again, is creativity about the commercial success or is it about the personal success of making something that you're proud of?
That's
there
very
are two
true.
Aspects of it, you know. So
You're so wise.
I know.
I'm literally like, can you be my therapist?
And on that profound note,
I'm going to come lay on your couch and pick my feet up and let you solve the world's problems.
Do you know what stage you're playing at in Bonnaroo Festival?
Somebody could tell me that, but I can't tell me that.
Okay. Uh-huh. I will definitely be seeing you at Bonnaroo. Well, I'll be seeing you next weekend when we go to Chicago.
That's right. Chicago. We're going to Chicago.
Chicago! Woo! Chicago!
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. But also Bonnaroo Festival, because yeah. I go every year.
Did you do radio in England before you
mm-hmm.
came here?
I did.
Do you know the band Cadillac 3?
No.
Are they a country band?
They're a country band here, but apparently yeah. they're a rock band in Europe, and they do quite well over there. They do.
Really?
But we're touring with them, and it's like this sort of gritty, grimy country rock thing, you know.
Yeah, I was like, I've heard of them here.
Yeah. Good friends of mine, good songwriters too.
I'll have to check them out.
Mm-hmm.
Luke Dick.
Yeah, that's
thank
me.
You so much
thank
for coming
you.
On Straight Out of Nashville. All right. I feel like we could talk to you all day.
I know. Thank
We've got
you
to save
for...
some stuff for the bus, though, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
You got to tell me twice. Twist my arm.
All right.
Can't wait for our weekend slumber party.
Yeah.
I think we should hold Luke Dick to going on the road.
Oh, it's happening. Do we have his phone number?
Well, no. I've got his manager's number and his publicist's email.
So is it weird to like text his manager and be like, hey, Luke said we could go on the road with him. Tell me what time bus call is. Like, just show up. No, yeah, I loved having him so much. So good find, Gabby. That was actually, Gabby saw him and was like, we need to get him on the show. And he was dope. Like, I feel like I sat down for an hour and a half with a therapist. Like, I just feel cleansed.
I just love hearing people's stories on, like, how they got here.
Yeah.
You know?
So, have you seen in the news, Gabby, mm-hmm. that Mel B from the Spice Girls said that she hooked up with Ginger Spice when they were, like, still part of the Spice Girls?
I did see that. I can totally see it as well.
They got
Scissor
it
Sisters.
On. That's what I love to call them! Oh, my God. They were Scissor Sister in the hell out of this thing.
Yeah. I saw it was with Piers Morgan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, girls hooking up with each other, right? Here's what I think. I've got, in my circle of British mates, there's two girls that spring to mind that are two of, like, my best friends. Especially when they've had a few drinks, they like to get a bit frisky with girls. So they say they're bisexual.
Yeah.
One of them settled down, married with two kids with a guy. The other one is still sort of playing the field, but I think she's going to end up with a guy.
Here's my problem with this, even just the beginning of the story.
Yeah.
The stigma is if girls hook up with girls or like they're like, oh, yeah, we were drunk, so we made out. Then guys think it's hot or other girls are like, oh, yeah, it's totally fine.
Yeah.
But if a guy hooks up with a guy when they're drunk or kisses another guy when they're just drunk and they say that's the excuse, they're immediately like, oh, you fucking fag. Like they yeah. think it's like such a negative thing. And I'm like,
true.
Why is it okay / hot for girls to be scissoring in the closet? And guys, if they just make out in the when they're drunk, it's like, oh, you're gay.
That's
so
such
what?
A good point. That is such a good point.
It's
yeah.
really weird to me.
It's weird to me now that you've actually said that because, yeah.
But I think it has to go back to like this also the stigma of a man is that they are the man of the household and the relationship and they're in charge of blah, 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 blah. Mm. So a lot of people don't realize / think that even if you are gay, that you can still be a man. Like people think that once you're gay, it takes away your manhood.
Yeah.
Like, it's just this really weird thought.
Right.
So, that's why I was like, ooh.
That's why we need people like you to break down the taboos.
I got
thing
you, boo.
The other way.
I'm like, I can screw in a screw and hammer a nail. Fuck with me, yeah. bitch.
Well, I think some people are just really sexual.
Yeah.
You know? That whole any hole is a goal.
Oh, my God. It's honestly
so
true, though, for yeah. a lot of people. And it's like, I know of a lot of friends that are like, I don't care what their genitalia looks like. If I like them as a person and they're funny and I like their soul and their spirit, then like, let's do this thing.
That's so millennial, isn't
yeah.
it? You know? Would you ever go there with a bisexual? Like, would you settle down with a guy that was like, by the way, I also like girls?
I think, yeah. Well, because my boyfriend dated girls and had sex with girls before we got together. So,
no way, you never told me that.
Yeah, so right now he doesn't.
You turned him.
I did. No, he had a boyfriend before me, but like,
okay.
I don't identify him as bisexual. I think he was like a closeted gay, so that's why he was yeah. having sex with girls. But I asked him about it, and he was like, I didn't hate it. Like, it was just what I thought I had to do because I was a football player. And so I'm like,
wow.
A lot of people have the mindset that if you're dating a bisexual, then you're more likely to be cheated on because you're like, oh, I'm sitting at the bar. Oh, he also likes girls, and this hot girl walked by. And I'm like, well, that could be true if your man is straight or if your girl is straight, because if a hot guy walks by, what if Gabby's like, oh, he's hot as fuck?
The head will turn.
Yeah. Duh. So I think it has less to do with the sexuality and more of like the morals of the person. Instead of being like, I think everybody is attractive, it turns it into the mindset of, I'll just fuck anybody and I'll cheat on my significant other if I want to.
Yeah, and so, use it as an excuse.
Yeah, so to me, I'm like, dating a bisexual is just like dating a human.
Yeah. I'm totally in agreement. I would have no problem with dating somebody that had slept with men as well, providing that they were in it and it was like I was the only focus, you know?
Yeah. But what if...
I'll wear a strap-on sometimes if that's what's needed.
Would you?
I don't know. Maybe. If I love the person,
I'm like, if you love them, then you get, like, do whatever they want in the bedroom. If that's what they like, then, honey, I will satisfy your needs so you don't go elsewhere.
Hello to mum, if you're listening.
No, but honestly, I think it's different for men than it is for women. So I'm, like, really proud of you for being like, yeah, I would date a guy that's been with another guy or says that he's sexually attracted to other men.
Yeah. Especially if they were hot.
Yeah, the bottom line, just be
hot.
Rule
number one.
Yeah, hello.
And rule number 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10.
Oh my God.
I want my loins set on fire.
Gabby is feeling some type of way lately. We need to get you laid, honey.
Touche, tell me about it. Stood. Please, let's do Gift of the Gab.
Can we please? Okay, here we go.
What's my challenge this week, Zachary?
Okay, so the other day you were at my apartment and you were talking about a drink called Sambuca. And I've never heard of this before.
Upsets me to my very soul that you've not had a Sambuca because it's like a little shot of heaven.
Oh, I like heaven.
Yeah.
I like shots a lot more, so.
Yeah, it's kind of aniseedy, but don't
what
like that.
What does aniseedy mean?
Like, if I say licorice, you're going to go, ooh, bitter, gross. Yeah, but it's sweet.
Okay.
It is so basically, my boss here at the iHeart Studios, I said to him, because that was always my shot of choice, you know, if forced, I'll do a shot of anything, but I don't like it. I enjoy a Sambuca. And you can set fire to Sambucas as well and have a flaming Sambuca.
Fun.
Yeah, and it's like you get it in any bar in the UK and loads of bars in Europe across. It's like a thing. And so my boss said, oh, no, you can get a Sambuca in Nashville. I'm like, where? I've literally scoured the bars in this goddamn place.
In your bikini.
That's maybe where I'm going wrong. Maybe Sambuca would appear.
Yeah.
And so he says you can definitely get Sambuca here. I am yet to find it.
So my challenge is there's a restaurant here in Nashville called Sambuca. They have to sell Sambuca.
Well, you would think, but it's a restaurant, right?
It's a restaurant bar. They have like a whole liquor shelf, whatever.
Okay, so basically the challenge is to get to the root of my problem.
Yes, I want you to call and be like, your name is Sid. I want you to be like kind of rude. Well, start off really sweet.
Oh, I don't like being rude.
No, I want you to start off really sweet and be like, so I am like from the UK and everywhere I go, they have Sambuca shots. You guys sell Sambuca. And then be like, if they don't, then I want you to be like, what the fuck is wrong with you? How can you have false advertisement?
Okay. Challenge accepted.
Bring it on. I want you to get crazy.
Thank you for calling Sambuca. This is Vicky. How may I help you?
Oh, hello there. This is Sambuca, the restaurant and bar. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, cool. I'm Gabby. I'm from the UK. I live in Nashville now. And I wanted to know from you guys, do you stock Sambuca, the liqueur?
Yeah, we sell Sambuca.
Oh my God, that is the best news ever. So you can do the shots of Sambuca?
Yeah.
This must be a bizarre phone call for you, but basically that was always my drink of choice in the UK and I've been able to find it here. Do you have...
Yeah, I mean, I could double check, but I mean, anytime there's the ingredients and the specific drink, then we are able to make it. But I mean...
But Sambuca is like, it's like vodka or tequila. It's a type of spirit.
Right.
In a bottle. So you don't need to make it. You can just
Yeah. Well, that means, let me double check, because I know I've heard people ask for it, so I'm pretty sure we have it, but hold on, okay?
Okay, thank you. Fingers are crossed.
Never seen you so excited in your life.
My expectations are really high now.
I know. Watch her come back.
We're going out on Saturday.
Ooh. I'm like, do you want to go get a shot now before you date?
Yeah, so we have the two kinds. We have the black and white one.
Oh, my God. You've got the two different flavors as well.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, Saturday night, I am coming to Sambuca. Sorry. Okay. I know this is a really random phone call.
I'm just as excited as you are that we're able to have what you need.
I'm on the radio. I work for iHeartRadio, so I'm going to be telling everybody.
I thought I heard about you. Like, I listen. I've heard your voice sounded familiar.
Oh,
and
okay.
You said your name. I was like, oh, okay, I know. I've heard you on the radio.
Oh, that's really cool. Oh, yeah. I'm so happy.
Okay, awesome.
Thank you again.
You're welcome, Wissy.
Gabs, you found your Sambuca and your fangirl.
I found my new BFF.
Oh, my God.
This is the happiest day of my life.
This is really sad that this is the happiest day of your life.
I don't even care. Judge me all you want. I want to be there when you experience your first Sambuca.
I want to go right now.
It's your fella's 30th birthday on Saturday.
Yeah.
Do you think we could get away with nipping to Sambuca first and doing shots of Sambuca?
Duh.
Yes!
Yes, it's happening!
Oh, today there are chicks and ducks in the world!
Anyways, they're straight out of Nashville.
Oh, yeah. It's time to finish.
Yeah. Thank you. Oh, it's time to finish. Why does everything go sexual in my brain? Somebody help! They're straight out of Nashville. Thank you so much for listening and having a dirty mind like we do. We love you so much. Please share with everybody in your entire family, except for your grandma, so that she's not offended. Leave us a review on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcast. We've gotten some really sweet ones lately. Like, people are commenting, leaving reviews. Like, it's really, really cool.
Yeah,
so keep it up.
Yeah. Every single one we read and we chat about to each other. And I wish that actually we could respond, but on iTunes you can't.
Yeah.
But you can contact us on our Instagram, which is Zach Woodward and Radio Gabby.
That's right.
Uh-huh. Because we love hearing from you. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yeah.
And if you haven't had a Sambuca, then make it your mission this week.
Why did you sing that?
Because I'm so delighted.
Also, coming up on next week's episode of Straight Out of Nashville, we have Megan and Liz, who they won Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade and iHeartRadio Rising Star Award. They're going to be here on our podcast. They're going to be insane. They're twins. They're amazing.
Sorry, I was thinking about Sambuca again. Yes, I am really. That's also exciting.
That's right, boo.
I might go and buy a bottle of freaking Sambuca.
Can we go right now?
All right, then.
Okay.